Hello, hello, hello. Here's Marlanka with another episode from Sri Aurobindo, The Hour of God. Parabrahman, Mukti, and Human Thought Systems. Parabrahman is the Absolute, and because it is the Absolute, it cannot be reduced into terms of knowledge. You can know the infinite in a way, but you cannot know the Absolute. All things in existence or non-existence are symbols of the Absolute, created in self-consciousness. By its symbols, the Absolute can be known so far as the symbols reveal or hint at it, but even the knowledge of the whole sum of symbols does not amount to real knowledge of the Absolute. You can become Parabrahman. You cannot know Parabrahman. Becoming Parabrahman means going back through self-consciousness into Parabrahman, for you already are that. Only you have projected yourself forward in self-consciousness into its terms or symbols, Purusha and Prakriti, through which you uphold the universe. Therefore, to become Parabrahman void of terms or symbols, you must cease out of the universe. By becoming Parabrahman void of its self-symbols, you do not become anything you are not already, nor does the universe cease to operate. It only means that God throws back out of the ocean of manifest consciousness one stream or one movement of Himself into that from which all consciousness proceeded. All who go out of universe consciousness do not necessarily go into Parabrahman. Some go into undifferentiated nature. Some lose themselves in God. Some pass into a dark state of non-recognition of universe, and some into a luminous state of non-recognition of universe. Pure, undifferentiated Atman, pure Sat, or existence, basis of universe, and some into a temporary state of deep sleep, sushupti, in the impersonal principles of Ananda, Chit, or Sat. All these are forms of release, and the ego gets from God, by his Maya or Prakriti, the impulse towards any one of them to which the Supreme Purusha chooses to direct him. Now those whom he wishes to liberate, yet keep in the world, he makes jivanmuktas, or sends them out again as his vibhutis, they consenting to wear, for the divine purposes, a temporary veil of avidya, which does not at all bind them, and which they can rend or throw off very easily. Therefore, to lust after becoming Parabrahman is a sort of luminous illusion or sattvic play of Maya. In reality, there is none bound, none free, and none needing to be freed, and all is only God's lila, Parabrahman's play of manifestation. God uses this sattvic maya in certain egos in order to draw them upwards in the line of his special purpose, and for these egos, it is the only right and possible path. But the aim of our yoga is jivan mukti in the universe, not because we need to be freed or for any other reason, but because that is God's will in us. We have to live released in the world, not released out of the world. The Jivanmukta has, for perfect knowledge and self-fulfillment, to stand on the threshold of Parabrahman, but not to cross the threshold. The statement he brings back from the threshold is that that is, and we are that. But what that is or is not, words cannot describe, nor can mind discriminate. Parabrahman, being the Absolute, is indescribable by any name or definite conception. It is not being or non-being, but something of which being and non-being are primary symbols. Not Atman or Un-Atman or Maya, not personality or impersonality, not quality, not non-quality, not consciousness or non-consciousness, not bliss or non-bliss, not Purusha or Prakriti, not God nor man nor animal, not release nor bondage, but something of which all these are primary or derivative, general or particular symbols. Still, when we say Parabrahman is not this or that, what we mean is that it cannot in its essentiality be limited to this or that symbol or any sum of symbols. In a sense, Parabrahman is all this, and all this is Parabrahman. There is nothing else which can all this be. Now, Parabrahman, being absolute, is not subject to logic, for logic applies only to the determinate. We talk confusion if we say that the absolute cannot manifest the determinate, and therefore the universe is false or non-existent. The very nature of the absolute is that we do not know what it is or is not, what it can or cannot do. We have no reason to suppose that there's anything it cannot do, or that its absoluteness is limited by any kind of impotency. We experience spirituality when we go beyond everything else, and we come to something absolute. We experience spiritually that the universe is in the nature of a manifestation proceeding, as it were, from the absolute. But all these words and phrases are merely intellectual terms trying to express the inexpressible. We must state what we see as best we can, but need not dispute what others see or state. Rather, we must accept and in our own system locate and account for what others have seen and stated. Our only dispute is with those who deny credit to the vision or freedom and value to the statements of others, not with those who are content with stating their own vision. You see, a philosophical or religious system is only a statement of that arrangement of existence in universe which God has revealed to us as our status of being. And it is given in order that the mind may have something to stand upon while we act in prakriti. But our vision need not be precisely the same in arrangement as the vision of others. Nor is the form of thought that suits our mentality bound to suit a mentality differently constituted. Firmness, without dogmatism, in our status of being. It is given in order that the mind may have something to stand upon while we act in prakriti. Our toleration, without any weakness, of all other systems should therefore be our intellectual outlook. Now, you will find disputants questioning your system on the ground that it is not consistent with this or that shastra, or this or that great authority, whether philosopher, saint, or avatar. Remember, then, that realization and experience are alone of essential importance. What Shankara argued or Vivekananda conceived intellectually about existence, or even what Ramakrishna stated from his multitudinous and varied realizations, is only of value to you so far as you are moved by God to accept and renew it in your own experience. The opinions of thinkers and saints and avatars should be accepted as hints, but not as fetters. What matters to you is what you have seen, or what God in His universal personality, or impersonally, or again personally, in some teacher, guru, or pathfinder, undertakes to show to you in the path of yoga. Thus ends that chapter, which certainly stresses the importance of our tolerance to the way that others think. We'll close for today this episode, and next week, in the next episode, we will have something different and refreshing about Sri Aurobindo, but with a guest. Thank you for listening. Until next time, bye-bye.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.